There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make your move, your hips, we're sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes.
Hey girls,
welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay. What is popping? I hope your pussy is clean.
Speaking of popping pussies,
Peter
Pepper had a popping pussy. Go over to our Patreon. It is the start of the month, girls. Patreon is where. That is where pussies are popping right now, I have to say.
Pop your damn cherry, girls, and sign up to X-Gals if you want to be sexier.
X-Gals, obviously, is our extra podcast. If one episode of It Girls Week is not enough for you, if you are literally left gagging for more every single week, like we're talking those girlies that listen to X-Gals Wednesday morning on the way to work or on the way to wherever the hell you're going, and then they're left dry.
Their vaginas are dry.
They don't have a wet-ass pussy.
No, because they're not getting their sex tips on X-Gals.
So true. Like, hello? X-Gals is where we really host, like, so much raunchy sex talk. And we've added so many new things to it over the last month or so. So now, if you're a triple X gal, which is the $10 tier, you get 5 episodes a month. We are going to do an extra episode every single month for you guys. And it's going to be really topical, really, really juicy, kind of bringing it back to the early, early days of It Girls and X Girls.
Yeah.
And we've also started a Discord server, which sounds very technical, but it's super easy. It's basically a chat room, a private chat room for X Girls. There's loads of little topics on the like
side. Bars.
Oh, like we've got one going on an astrology. There's one going on beauty. Like people are giving lip filler fucking recommendations, and like it's brilliant. There's fashion. People are dropping their Depop. And one thing which I was lolling all the girlies doing yesterday, they all give their Instagram handles and they all follow each other. I was like, girlies, y'all gonna be hitting 10K.
Literally.
I was like, we're gonna have like an army of influencers.
But we're building like such a community because people are making friends, and that was, you know, one of our goals. With X-Gals to really just like kind of make it be a real life thing.
Yeah.
Because we live so much of our lives online, but we wanted to make it a real life thing. And it's so cool that like we're all getting to meet you and you're all meeting each other. And like if you are an X-Gal, you instantly have that in common, which is like, you know, that you're a raunchy type of bitch. You're an X-Gal. There's a type of girl who was an X-Gal.
It's so true. And
and we know them, we see them.
They're all already planning a night out for our next live show. They're like, I can't wait till we can all like, or because they can arrange on the Discord now to meet beforehand. People can like meet, which is great. Like we've really noticed this with X-Gals, but I think the Discord's really going to help this, where people now, when we're doing our next live show, if someone doesn't have their friends to go with, they can just like chat. They can private message in the Discord and go with each other. Yeah, it's fucking
people
brilliant.
People are making down friends. And like, we will honor our X-Gals till the day we die. Because when we can finally get back doing like little shows, we have a few ideas for like more mini kind of meetups and little things like that, that we will be doing with X-Gals. So there's a lot more
100.
To come.
C-U-M. So patreon.com/itgirlspodcast. And if you are still left wanting questions, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to our website, click the X-Gals button. We have a full FAQ section there, which pretty much answers all of your questions with testimonials from X-Gals.
Yes, that would make me sign up. Like hell, if you go down, see how, like we get messages every day, but it was nice to have it somewhere public so everyone knows how fucking cool we are. But like how we are like liberating people sexually.
I know.
We had an episode last month about drugs, where we kind of just lolled about our fucking situations with drugs. And like we have a burner phone as well on X-Gals, which is a live line to us where we can like send, you know, use your voice message and messages and stuff like that, that you send in with your own experiences. So it's much more of a community vibe over there. And we also had Adam O'Reilly on, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
And we spoke about his experience growing up in Ireland as a gay man and like all the kind of struggles he's faced, but whilst being hilarious, because he's just forever hilarious. So yeah,
forever.
Check it out.
check it out, girls. As I said, patreon.com/itgirlspodcast. And very quickly before we get into this episode this week, we just want to give you guys a heads up. We are restocking the merch store on Friday. We we found an extra box of a few t-shirts hanging around that we didn't know we had. So there's a handful of blacks, handful of whites, and which we're most excited for. Me, Lindsay and I spent all last week tie-dyeing a really, I think there's only 20 t-shirts, a really limited amount of t-shirts. All of the colours and stuff will be listed on our Instagram and online, so you can go check them out on Friday. We're going to have them ready for you guys to purchase. And this is, I know we always say it, but this is the last of the last. We just found an extra box and we have some tie-dye cutie patooties for you.
We had some that we saved a buy just for if there were returns and all that kind of stuff. But the tie-dye is look like, whoa,
it looks
and
sick.
This is hand tie-dyed by your favorite It Gals.
We chose the colorways and everything, so go over on over there. And just to note, on the tie-dye t-shirts only, there is free Irish shipping.
Because
a little pricier because we had to hand tie-dye the asses. But
so they look so good. They look like Grateful Dead tees.
Speaking of our summer t-shirts, can we talk about all the negativity that this summer has been getting from people?
My dear God. You bitches never showed up.
People are like, well, worst summer of my existence. I'm like, girlies, okay, I understand that, yes, COVID fucked us all up. We've been there. We accepted this in April.
Yeah, truly move on, you cunts. How can you not move on?
Well, it's just like, okay, I get it. You didn't get to go to a bloody festival, but like, they'll be back, fingies crossed.
And how much more amazing will it be after missing out for one summer? Yes. Like, I am going to be jizzing for a festival, and I'm usually moaning going on. I'm my mate, me and Jenny are in the back of the bus like, oh, it's fucking raining. What the hell? I don't want to go. I'm bored. I'm just sitting in a field drinking. But, now next year I'll be like, I'll be getting the gems on my face and going down to the field with my little cans, dying
me
for it
too.
Same with holidays, like everything will be so much juicier. Absolutely. When we get it back, it will taste like the ripest fucking mango ever.
Yeah. And like, so what was your, let's lament on summer for a moment, because you know it is the 1st September, the kids are back in school
now. Let's not forget that there is always a little September summer in Ireland when everyone starts going back to school. So let's not be like, oh, that's fuck off that summer. No, no. Just like we had I feel like we had the start of our summer in April. We had lovely warm days, and like I was out and about and like doing my little walking during lockdown and just enjoying like being outside. You know, when we came out with the t-shirt and the whole idea of it, like, you won't take our summer, was like a kind of positive reaction to the whole COVID thing, which obviously knocked everyone for six, but like, it is totally in your own ownership over how you take, like, how you react to stuff. Yeah. And like, I just don't like living in a negative space. Like, I enjoy having fun and, you know, lolling around and enjoying myself. So when life hands you COVID, make a fucking fun summer out of.
Make a COVID cocktail.
Yes. Suck some COVID cock. Actually, no.
I definitely don't do that. Unless you know that COVID cock, then suck away.
It's like fucking that bloody thing that's going around, those girls with the TikTok.
Oh my God, should we talk about that?
The poor little pets, though, I feel bad for them.
I mean, why? They put it on TikTok.
I know, but like,
dumbasses.
But I feel like everyone's like just filling the whole circle. They're like, well, I heard that this and this and this and this. And it's like, okay, well, all we know for sure is that this TikTok is like, what, 35 seconds long or something.
So there's like a TikTok going around of these girls from Scaries. And allegedly, this is the rumor, is that one of them tested positive for COVID, and they all like hung out for a night with the person who had tested positive, and then they're like having a bet of like who got it from them. And there's like pictures of the girl. I mean, the really dumb one was like the girl licking her friend,
being like, I like to lick people's drinks when I go out. But like, I do think that we are just circling the whole thing. We've just got this TikTok as proof, and we're circling the whole story, which we've seen so many times with viral shit, like Hetty Douglas, we spoke about years ago, when she put up one picture and everyone was like, she's a rich artist. She's like, wasn't at all. And like, they made up stories about her father and stuff like this. So I think with like virality, it's just you believe a tweet that has 1,000 likes, you know, just if someone's saying, well, actually, it was her father is the head of An Garda Síochána, and he, you know,
I don't believe any of that stuff.
All we
ever
know is that like they fucking put out the TikTok, and I took from it, and I don't know for sure, but I'm just feeling like, oh, maybe they were at the party and they didn't know that she had tested positive.
Okay, yeah, that could possibly.
And then they were like, oh God, who's going to get it? And like making a joke out of that, which is like, okay, it's a joke, but like they're trying to make light out of a situation that like they all could get COVID from hanging out with her.
Yeah, and like I saw that like Scary's Town FC, they put up a thing being like, in light of recent events in Scary's, we decided to postpone all club activities because allegedly this is where they were doing it. In the, this is where the tick, the videos of them like licking face and all that kind of stuff happened. And my favorite part of the, like, it was going around the WhatsApp groups. My favorite part is like, apparently their, what was it? Apparently their parents are mortified.
Oh, I saw. I know, I'm sure they are, but like, let's not make it worse for the poor motherfuckers. Oh, but back to our summer. So lamenting on our summer.
Yeah. Lamenting. What was your fave mem from summer? I think mine was our beach day.
Oh, that was so nice. It was like the
hottest. It was probably the last. We got like a run of hot weather in June. And I think it was like one of the last days of the run of the scorching weather, because it was after that we were like, we're going to do this every day. And then there was never a day to be doing it again, which was really annoying.
We didn't get that weather again. That was beautiful. Like Jenny and I made like salads and brought a speaker and loads of drink down to the beach and we're just like texting whoever, being like, just come join us, this is where we'll be, we're beach bums today. And we got lit, we got in the sea,
the sea was unreal.
The sea was warm,
it was like a bath.
It was Jinx, you owe me a coke. Carrie Bradshaw said that.
I know, Barney, it's an American
story. Yeah, but
fucking Americans.
But yeah, it was so fun. I loved that day. I also loved, even though shit got cray, I did love the party. Our friend Neve had a party in her brother's house.
Oh my God.
And unreal. It was just like, it actually felt like the first kind of post-choir day. Like it was all our bestos in one place. No one else had anywhere to go. There's nowhere to go because we didn't have bloody bookings. And it was just so much fun getting absolutely lit. I'm very lit. Like I was triggered for a bit of fucking week afterwards.
Oh, same. But I was still, like, I'm thinking of going sober.
I was like, I think I need to block all of you because I can't look at you after what the shit I came out with every weekend.
Google's how to block myself on Instagram.
Literally. I hadn't drunk storied in so damn long. And now I'm like making a habit of it.
That drunk storying is fucking...
That was the old me. Yeah. COVID brought it out of me again.
It happens.
I hate it.
And it's one nibble and you're nobbled. Do you ever hear that?
My hobnobs.
Like one little, once you dip the toe in the drunk story.
Oh, I know. It's like second nature.
I'm drinking.
I know. Like even at the weekend, I remember Pete being like, Lindsay, stop storying. And I was like, he was like, close friends. I was like, I want to show the real me on the gram. I'm always transparent.
You did close story a lot. I was proud.
There was a lot of close stories. Close. It was just the same thing.
Yeah.
Me twerking.
Yeah. I was like to Lindsay, she went to a party and I was like, oh cute, there's only four of you there. She was like, no there wasn't, there was loads of people.
Were loads of people. I don't know why it seemed like it was just the four.
I was like, oh cute, they had like a private party on the second day of the party or something.
Yeah, no, there was fucking loads of people there. English fellas and all.
Oh, so shall we talk about this week, girls? We are talking about some celebrities who are just acting a damn fool on the internet right now.
I love saying that. Acting a damn fool.
It's just, imagine your mom said that to you, like, you're acting a damn fool. I'd be mortified.
It's like when your mom says, you're embarrassing yourself.
Oh, you're like, and worst of all, you're embarrassing me and your father. You're like,
oh my God. Or, stop showing off. Oh. That makes me absolutely melt into the ground.
That's the worst one.
And it's always when you are showing off.
You feel seen as fuck.
I know. I hate feeling seen.
In the second half of the pod, we're going to have a very interesting discussion all around Bella Thorne and her antics online. Her dumbass selling her own dumbass.
Covered in a loincloth and pretending it was a nude.
Yeah, so Bella Thorne obviously scammed a lot of people on OnlyFans and it is popping off on Twitter and all over the internet. So we are going to be calling a friend of ours who's a sex worker and we're going to get her input because we obviously wanted to talk to someone from the community to speak on behalf of them. You'll have to hold on for that because that's coming up in the second half. First off, let's briefly touch on some lighter, more lol. I mean, lol in just the sense of the pure ridiculousness. So Adele, who recently went viral for being skinny.
Literally. Post-divorce as well. Like I find that whole thing like notoriously problematic because it's like, she's clearly dropped a fuckload of weight because she's just had like a massive divorce and had to give so much money away. And everyone's like, she looks bloody brilliant. I'm like, she's probably riddled with anxiety and like,
well, I think
not eating.
I think most of the response was like, is she all right? And then a lot of people were like, not, they were like, there was a whole feminist argument around. They were like, women's bodies. It's like, the girls
of it online, from what I saw, was like praising her.
Oh, really? I saw the opposite.
She was always known as being like
the woke people.
Yeah, that since, don't be on Twitter.
So that was when I was on Twitter.
Exactly. I'm not on Twitter. Twitter makes you think that people think a certain type of way, and then you're in the real world and you're like, oh, no one thinks like those fucking people because they're always on Twitter. They never leave their homes.
True.
on Twitter. But, yeah, so everyone was like, oh, she looks brilliant. But she looked beautiful before. But I'm glad that she's a healthier mother now and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, God. And she didn't look great, but her latest pic, I mean, Adam sent it to me and I thought it was fake. I thought she was photoshopped.
It looked superimposed.
So obviously, like, Carnival was cancelled this year. Duh.
Yeah.
In a huge festival celebrating, like, I think it's like Jamaica and all that kind of area. Yeah. Like, yeah.
We don't know, but
it's
like
celebrating them. I went to it once; it was fucking brilliant.
Oh, did you go?
Yeah, yeah. When I lived there for a summer once, it was actually fucking so fun.
It's fucking petrifying. I've heard there's loads of like stabbings and all.
Well, your girl's still standing.
I remember Lily Allen a while ago was videoed like slumped over her boyfriend at the time's shoulder at Carnival. Like, I think it's like it's a kind of street festival.
It's
right?
A street festival, and it goes on for like a whole weekend. It's obviously the August bank holiday, so like their August bank holiday is like the end of the month.
I think it's about like all the subcultures of London.
Yeah,
and
it's like Afro Caribbean culture. That was the word I was looking for. I was like, Jamaica.
Bob Marley?
It's a celebration of Bob Marley and all his beauty. No, but it's Afro-Caribbean.
To be honest, I'd go to that.
Oh, hell yeah. It's Afro-Caribbean, so it's all of those kind of areas. And it's great fun. And like, they're just like, those cultures are just known for being so like into like music, mm-hmm. and like unreal food. And there's a huge population of Afro-Caribbean people, obviously specifically in London, but all over the UK. And Adele was I can't help but laugh thinking about it. Adele posted a picture of her in a fucking Jamaican flag bikini top, a set of, because everyone gets dressed up for this, right? A set of like feather wings, which a lot of people wear for Carnival. It's like, that's the whole kind of,
it's like Rihanna. She has her own version.
That's Afro-Caribbean as well, huh?
Yeah,
you know, and
she looks.
She always
good.
Looks. I'm always those like, what miles. Is she wearing to Carnival this year? And she's wearing these wings. A coy look is the only cheeky,
a very freaky cheeky, face expression.
Cheeky coy, and then she had these like, what are they called? Those buns.
They're called like bagnata. I don't know. Okay, I couldn't read the word, but I saw like a lot of people saying something like that. But yeah,
which
they're
like a traditional kind of like. Way that black women specifically would wear their hair.
Yeah, it was kind of like on all these little knots and buns, like maybe with plaits or whatever. Like, so.
And she was like,
and she just put that up and said something like Miss Carnival this year. And oh my goodness, the comments and shit, like straight away it went off. Everyone was like,
they were like, honey, you still have time to delete this.
Yeah, yeah. Did she delete it?
I don't know. Let me check.
Let's check.
Let me
because
check.
Because I feel like Adele gets away with fucking everything. Well, not everything, but I feel like
she has it up still.
She has it up still.
The caption is, happy what would be Notting Hill Carnival, my beloved London. And then she put up the UK flag and the Jamaican flag.
And now Naomi came to her defense. Naomi Campbell. So she actually has commented here. 13K likes her comment.
Pop off, queen.
And she spoke on Good Morning Britain saying that like Adele grew up around these cultures.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of understandable that maybe she would like wear the clothing, but I mean, yeah, maybe I don't really have much of an opinion, and I just kind of
neither
am
do
shocked
I
at how dumb to put up a picture like that.
I mean, yeah, like
in this climate.
Once again, you know, this should be maybe a tote bag of ours. Like, put it in the WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
don't be putting it online,
especially for someone like Adele. Like, since she's lost all the weight, she's barely put up any pics.
I know.
There's
this
that
is
one
what
pic,
you choose.
Yeah, you're like, okay, so you never put up pics, but a culturally inappropriate one you'll throw up now. Yeah. Willy nilly.
Yeah. Off the back of a huge Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah. I mean, how. It's like they
read
just,
the room. Read the room, girls.
And it's the facial expression. She looks fucking freaky.
She looks. Do you know what she looks?
That was on at the end of your bed.
She looks dog rough.
She
do you know what that
like
looks
she's
like?
She's on drugs.
Do you know what it looks like?
I say that a lot during this podcast.
She does look like she's on drugs, but do you know what specifically drug she looks like? Looks like. It looks exactly
what
like.
What drug does she look like?
She looks like. The chemical compound. But no, she looks like 8 a.m. after a sesh. She's they're in some gaff. they found a bikini top. She's like, take a picture of me wearing this. She puts the wings on. She's like, yeah, take a picture. Put my hair in the bun things. Go on, fucking gas.
Yeah, she's in someone's mom's garden who's away for the week. You know when like you see those sessions going on and you're like, your mum is going to fucking flip.
Yeah.
Why are you putting it this?
Or you're like, oh, I was up my story for fucking 12 hours.
But like all these Jamaican people are writing and saying, as a full-blown Jamaican, not a wannabe Jamaican, I mean born and raised in Jamaica, we love this. So like fair
play. I've seen, at first there was a load of hate being sent towards her. And then recently I've seen more people being like pop off queen basically.
But then that I think is where like, I mean, the whole ambiguity over this cultural appropriation thing. It's like, so you're saying, okay, just because she was around maybe Jamaican people when she was growing up, she's allowed to wear the little buns and the fucking Jamaican bikini. Yeah. So then, but like, people are just walking around and getting constantly given out to for being culturally inappropriate. So how do you, like, it's like the posts are constantly being moved. So you're saying, first of all, it's only if that is your culture. But then you're saying, and we are in a situation now where like cultures are finally like, you know, we're all like amalgamating into one big and cooking pot.
Especially in London, it's very like, you know,
I mean, well, it's progressed.
It's very progressed. And it's, and you know, there's a lot of assimilation in there. Like there is like, you know, it's not even just Afro-Caribbean or Jamaican culture. It's a big part of just London culture is that way of being. Like carnival is like a fucking staple in London. Not even just like, you know, in the Afro-Caribbean community. Like, no, world, like citywide.
And
it
for
is
years.
A thing.
And like also that they dress like that. Like not,
yeah, no,
everyone dresses
up
like that. Like
100%.
I follow a load of just, white people from London who go to carnival. Like it seems to be a massive thing. They're wearing like that Dior Rastafari one.
Yeah.
Like people dress up. It's like St. Patrick's Day for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know, when Americans come over with a goddamn paddy cap on, are we going to be like, take that off your head?
Well, because the whole point of, not the whole point, but like a huge point of carnival happening in specifically like London and stuff like that is like, you know, a lot of Afro-Caribbean people are in the UK because of like slavery and because of, you know, the imperialism and all that kind of stuff from the UK. So it's like now a way of them like celebrating, keeping their culture alive in, you know, what was like, you know, an oppressor state or what was, you know, the slave owner state. And it is literally appreciating their culture. Like that's the point of the day, is to be like, woohoo, you know?
Yeah, and like unifying, like,
yeah,
the fact that like cultures are coming together and like we're going to be like taking and giving to each other via our cultures. Like that's beautiful. One way to keep your culture alive is to not have to westernize yourself completely if you're moving over somewhere, so that you can bring some of your culture and we can take and you can take some of ours, and then we're all just humans.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where they've moved, I guess the like slap on the wrist for her is the hair. I think that's what, I think if she didn't have the hair, now I'm not saying this is my opinion, I'm just saying that if she didn't have the hair, I don't think people would have cared. Oh, wow, I'm a poet.
Oh my God, Megan Thee Stallion is in the building.
Sorry, I can't help but spit rhymes.
Yeah, that's just what we do here. But I get that, but then I also think like, you know, you look back at like 90s pop and Bjork and Gwen Stefani, who also wore those exact same hairstyles.
Yeah.
Now, Gwen Stefani is getting like a later kind of kickback on her whole like geisha cultural appropriation and like stuff like that. So, I mean, it hasn't popped off, but there's people who are really trying to make that happen on Twitter, probably,
no,
you know, being like, I mean, why has she never apologized for this and stuff like that? So,
the Harajuku.
But yeah, I do think like, I mean, It's a strange one when a girl is wearing 12 buns in her hair and that scene is problematic. I do find that just like, if you're really looking at it as that, I know with everything you can pick through, you can like, you know, open up things and open up all these possibilities. It's like the whole idea of offense. You can say something to me and I could be, you know, I could write a thesis and how that could possibly offend me. But like, just because something has like a possibility to like be bigger, it doesn't mean that it is. It is at the end of the day just 12 buns in her hair.
I guess people would argue against that and say that there's like a huge kind of cultural history of that hairstyle, and that, you know, a lot of the kind of argument around the whole like hairstyle conversation is that like Black women specifically for years were told like they're not allowed to wear those hairstyles in Western culture. You know, they're just told that like, you know, people are like, you know, it would be stigmatized to like walk into a job at times with like dreadlocks or with buns or with cornrows, and they're told it's unprofessional, and then it's like, oh, now it's okay. And I know your point where it's like,
but then isn't that going to just, you know, make it like, if we all share each other's culture, is that not good? Like, if we still kind of keep it to like marginalize it, so only like we want to accept,
segregate it, kind of.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think, is that not how culture is kind of blended, by being able to like wear your hair and like, because it's the accepting, like I see it as cultural appreciation. Mm-hmm. Like it must, it's like, it's fucking annoying. You know, say when you're like a goth in school, now this is obviously a way lesser example, but like, you know, when you start, like you're a certain type of girl in school, like who wears like band t-shirts and stuff. I'm talking about myself here and you, because I know you're in the same situation. And then like you would have got slagged a bit by like the kind of camogie girls or the hockey girls, and then like after school that was like cool, so they all start wearing their Iron Maiden t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, you don't even know what I've been through. But like, it's moving on, and it's kind of like just being able to like appreciate that, like, you cannot tell someone what to wear at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell someone how not to wear their hair, or how they should wear their hair, or if they should wear makeup or tan, or, you know, if they should have a whatever, you know. And I think it's like, that's where the posts are constantly moved, because it is still very controlling over how people are dressed.
And I think that the main thing, I think, is what you said it a while ago, is that the goalposts tend to be moved quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's where it is like, like I understand it from a point of like, I remember a few years ago when Coachella was cool, people were always giving out about like people wearing like Native American headdresses, and that was a really weird moment in fashion that people were doing that, like, festival Native American headdress.
Lana Del Rey had it in her ride.
Yeah.
Maybe that was around the time when,
maybe it must have been. And I mean, I understood the thing that, like, I remember at the time there was an argument, and I think it was someone from like Native background, they were saying like, if you're going to wear this, at least buy it from like an artist in the Native American community, so the money's going back into the community. Yeah. They're like, our problem is that you're like, it's like Forever 21 are making them and you're buying them from them.
And that was a problem. Yeah. Like back in the day when I mean, had dreads.
Yeah.
And wore bindis. I always bought my little bindis from, you know, Indian women selling them in Georgia Street, or like knowing that it was like they brought over. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like, I wouldn't wear a bindi now. But then I remember in that time, like, everyone was wearing bindis, like for festivals and stuff like that. And Topshop brought out a line of bindis. Yes. And I was like, that is so wild.
Yeah.
Where like,
when it's like a sacred, you know, piece of like jewelry or accessories.
Well, I mean, it's just like you're literally stealing from their culture, profitizing off it.
And you know? probably wouldn't hire a girl who walked in for a job interview with a bindi on.
No,
they'd probably look at her and be like,
well, an Irish girl.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But like, if, you know, if a girl came in from Indian or Pakistani like heritage, if she walked in her bindi, maybe in her like traditional garb, they'd probably be like, you're just not really alternative enough for us.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but I understand completely with that. Yeah. Like when there's financial gain in it, and when like big companies or shops and like Zara and shit are selling stuff that is like, you know, taking money out of like people's pockets, who, and then therefore stealing their culture. But I do just find it like muddies the waters when we're getting into like cultural appropriation, talking about like hairstyles and clothing and stuff like that. I do find it, I mean, I'm still like reading up about it when I see stuff like this coming up, so trying to like, I don't have a like fully formed point as of yet.
I'd be the exact same as you. It's like, I see, you know, the odd time I'll see like, say like one of my black friends sharing, say, about like white cornrows are racially insensitive, and I'll read that and I'll be like, they made a good point there. But then it's like,
I'll see something else and I'm like, that's also like a good point. So I'm not really sure.
And then, I think there's a split in the middle of it all around.
Like, I think there is. Like you can see it on the comments of that. Like there's a lot of black people and Jamaican people saying that they love this. This like, you know, promotes their country that they love. And that like,
I think it's the context as well. Like she did it in the context of carnival.
Yeah.
It's not like she's like, you know,
pretending to
my
be
new single, and that's the cover of her next album. What was it?
There was some meme going around where it's like Adele drops new album, and it was like a Rastafari, and it's like it was her singing, but it was like dubbed over. I was like, that's flipping gas.
I mean, someone who I saw actually speaking positively about it, Defo doesn't listen to the pod, but whatever, you know, Lawson.
Yes.
Lawson posted a picture of Adele, and he was like,
Laws of style and Instagram
laws of style
girls.
On Instagram. He posted it and he was like, he's like, if Carnival was on this weekend, you would catch me trying to get a wine off Adele. You know when they go, the wine, it's like the dance. Goodness, and then he was like, this is cultural appreciation. So like, I mean, then I hear from like someone who is black and, you know, obviously he's not from Jamaica. I think he's originally, his family and stuff are from Africa somewhere, you know, that way. But it's like he can see an appreciation in it. And like, I think that's the whole thing. It's like, it is person to person as well, because like not one person is like the spokesperson for all black people.
Totally.
On cultural appreciation or appropriation.
Even so, like diminishing of like people's kind of individuality and individual thoughts and stuff like that, to suggest that like a whole culture or a whole race of people are going to be offended by fucking Adele wearing her hair in corners or whatever the fuck she's wearing, do you know the way and that kind of must squash. That would make me feel overwhelmed if people were saying, well, all Irish people hate that there's Irish bars in Jamaica. I love it.
Yeah, personally.
We all hate it. So it is.
You can't speak upon the behalf. And also, a lot of the time, the people who are most offended by this are just like other
white people on Twitter.
Now,
I will say, so to touch upon before we get into the meat and the bones, as we used to always say, we haven't said that in a minute.
I love saying that.
Well, so there's cultural appreciation, and then there's cultural appropriation, which is like we've seen it a lot, like blackfishing, where like there seems to be like white people quite literally pretending to be black or kind of not really giving the full disclosure.
They're kind of like very happily like being racially ambiguous, shall we say.
I mean, we saw, which I talk a lot about, I don't know why, I fucking love that documentary, Rachel Dolezal. I find that really interesting.
It's on Netflix now.
Yeah, it was great. It's really interesting. If you don't know the story, just look up the documentary. It's interesting as all hell. Yeah, there's like obviously people like the Kardashians who get given out to for kind of almost pretending to be black. And then Kylie Jenner put up a picture, a selfie. Can you imagine Kylie Jenner putting up a selfie? She put up a selfie and she's obviously away somewhere and her skin is a bit tanned. And she wrote the caption, brown skinned girl. And then changed it. And the comments were all like, you change it, you change it. Like, oh, take ownership, to brown eyed girl.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
Like,
remember that Van Morrison song?
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
Brown eyed girl.
Is that one?
Brown eyed girl.
Yeah. Brown eyed girl.
Great song. Dear God, especially as a woman who is a mother of a black child. Girl.
I mean, but I cannot fathom the like, how can you not be aware of like BLM and all of the kind of like sensitivities that will be, you know, the hangover of that, you know, and you get a fucking tan and you call yourself a brown skinned girl? That is wild.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know I'm laughing. It's just like,
it's just that outrageous.
Yeah.
Like
she
is obviously got called out like by people like Azealia Banks for like, you know, using, and the Kardashians do in general with their physique where they seem to like, you know, they get lip fillers and BBLs and like they really kind of seem to just take a lot from the black community whilst not really
amplifying
it, or, you know, being so obviously out of the loop that they're putting brown skin girls, their caption, you know, the way, or like kimono instead of Skims, like these things that they're just missing out on. So it just shows their lack of kind of care towards like,
well,
what's
it's like
going
sensitivity,
on.
Yeah, you know, that way. But I think it's just that whole thing of like celebrities just being so far fucking removed from reality. It's like, why are we expecting celebrities to be able to actually respond in a sensitive way towards real people's experiences and real people's injustices? It's like they really don't have a fucking clue. They're millionaires, billionaires, close to.
And their lives are just we will never understand their lives. Like it's so hard for us as normal people to understand like how you can be that much under a rock. But maybe if you have €1 million. I'd be probably just under a rock myself. You know, like just in Mykonos, under a rock, brown skin girl.
KV to Goo or whatever the fucking, you know, that mad hotel they all go to in Mykonos. That's the only rock you'd see me in. One of those cave hotels.
Oh, yes, queen.
Yeah, it's queen.
But so. We're going to move on the conversation.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, next up, we're talking about Bella Thorne and her antics on OnlyFans right after this little break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Linz.
Uh-huh.
This week, online.
On the internet.
On celebrities acting a damn fool part two.
Yeah. Who was it this week that really acted a damn fool? Miss Bella Thorne. She decided to start an OnlyFans and she like got $1 million?
A million in a day. I think the most amount of money ever made by someone on OnlyFans in one day.
Someone who totally doesn't need it. Have you seen her Vogue? I think it's one of those 73 questions or a day with Bella Thorne.
She has
a fucking teepee as a bed. Like a decked out teepee. I'm like, first of all, cultural appropriation. Second of all,
how dare you? But like,
how do you go to work when you're clearly drugged out all the time? I don't get it.
I know. And I mean, why do you, like, I just don't get it. You're rich and you're a celebrity.
But like, okay, well, do you know what? We wanted to discuss this whole thing. So we brought in friend of the pod. We have done an ex-gals with this gal, our pal, who is a sex worker. And we thought that you would be a lot more versed on schooling us on the kind of intricacies of what went down last week and why everyone was so mad about Bella acting a damn fool.
So welcome.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
Good. We're on Skype here.
Yeah, we've Skyped her in, our new setup. We're thinking we're like Elon Musk over
here.
Took us about an hour.
Very technical.
Very technical. So obviously we wanted to get you on just to chit chat about it because you understand the kind of intricacies and like the problems around it probably better than we do. Although it is, I mean, the minute I saw that Bella Thorne joined it, even before the whole the OnlyFans kind of lockdown shit that's happened after, I was like, oh God, this ain't going to be good.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, like you could just tell, like the minute I saw that she made so much money so quickly, I just knew that the sex work community would be annoyed about it. Yeah. And I don't think it's because the amount of money she made. It's just kind of like, why did you need to do that?
That's the thing. It's like, obviously, you know, it's a free platform in the sense that like, you know, if there's a demand there, you'll make money, especially if you've got a massive platform like Bella Thorne does. And it's not that anyone has any problem with someone capitalizing off their platform. It's just like, you're already a celebrity though, and you make a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what really pissed people off as well is that she went about it in a way that made it look like I'm trying to help sex workers, when like if she had just made the OnlyFans and just like done her thing, sold her nudes, not tried to like tamper with the community and like look like an advocate, people would have just been like, oh, whatever, you know, like Cardi B made one. And like, obviously she has like a stripper background, so it's kind of different, but like it is a free platform. It's a free market. Everyone can, you know, do what they want. But I think she kind of had this like intention of being like, I'm trying to help you guys, and it's like, yeah, but we don't need your help, but you know, that kind of way.
So I have this Twitter thread here that I'll read to just in case anyone doesn't know what the problem is, because obviously if you hear like, so Bella Thorne joined, made a million in a day, woohoo, yay, and obviously on a low level it's like annoying that a celebrity comes on and, as you said, kind of like LARPs as a social activist. It's like, fuck off, like seriously. But
cosplaying a sex worker,
literally.
So she started the account like pretending that she was doing it for sex workers.
I'm
confused with that.
Yeah, and
it was meant to be like, I'm gonna fight for you guys' rights. I'm doing research on sex work, so I'm gonna do OnlyFans. And she said that she was gonna use it as research for a film that she was making with this guy called Sean Baker, which eventually ends up being a lie, but yeah.
Great. So I have this Twitter thread, right? So that I think it'll give us all the info of then like the subsequent knockoff effect of what has happened since then and why like sex workers are rightfully like enraged now. And then I think from there we can just have an open convo because it'll just give everyone all the info. And this was written by someone who is on OnlyFans, so they have an insight. So she says, if you don't understand why every sex worker hates Bella Thorne's stinky guts and how she endangered the livelihood of hundreds of thousands of creators, let me explain it for you. First, Bella Thorne made an OnlyFans and made $1 million in her first day. This isn't the bad part. She then sent out a $200 pay-per-view message that she claimed was a nude photo, but when subscribers paid to open it, they found it was a lingerie photo. Seeing as she scammed them, they wanted their money back, and OnlyFans has a policy that you can get your money back if you are scammed. So suddenly, a fuck ton of people ask for a chargeback, and this causes problems for OnlyFans because they have processing costs. So people suddenly requested millions in chargebacks, making them lose a lot of money. To be able to pay all those people back and prevent such a massive chargeback problem in the future, OnlyFans changed their policies now. So the maximum price for a pay-per-view message is $50. Maximum tip someone can send is $100, and all the money you make on OnlyFans is pending for 30 days. Previously, the funds you made on OnlyFans were only pending for a week, so most creators got paid at least once a week. Imagine you suddenly going from a weekly paycheck to a monthly paycheck. That's what's happening to 450,000 content creators. People have bills to pay, kids to feed, many people including content creators and sex workers live paycheck to paycheck. How are they going to pay their bills this month? How are they going to feed themselves and their families? This is real harm. Now, about the $50 pay-per-view and $100 tip cap, I've seen people who are not sex workers saying this seems reasonable because you're ignorant morons talking on something you don't understand. Sex workers don't get paid hourly. You make larger amounts inconsistently. Pay-per-view messages are frequently used by sex workers to sell more explicit content. Let's say you're selling a video of you sucking your boyfriend's dick. If you sell that for $50, OnlyFans keeps 20%, so you get $40, but you have to pay taxes on that. Maybe you get $30 to $32. Is it worth it to you to sell videos of yourself sucking dick for a maximum of $32? Can you make a living off it? What if you used to sell them for $150 to $200? Can you survive a pay cut like that? Could you and your job survive a sudden 85% pay cut and monthly payday? So obviously she goes on and on to like go into the other ins and outs in it, but that is like, so OnlyFans have now, you know, being a corporation, they're trying to ensure their outgoings. And oh, could you imagine that, Lindsay? Because I was trying to like reason with it. I'm like, imagine Ricky Gervais joined Patreon and like they all of a sudden Patreon, I'm like, sorry guys, now you can actually only limit how much you can charge. You can limit your tiers. Imagine all of our money being cut. You can only take out your money every 3 months now. Like for something that you, if you're banking on a platform, I guess it is, you know, weirdly, it is kind of the risk you take.
Do you know, I did with my whole, the whole thing with OnlyFans and my whole like opinion on it now, again, I'm not a sex worker. I've not, you know, sold nudes. So my opinion is void in that sense. But I remember just seeing like, especially over quarantine and lockdown, there were so many more people doing it. And I was like, this is great and all for, you know, normalizing sex work and that kind of stuff. But then I kind of thought like, as long, and when I saw the celebrities jumping on it, and it was like getting more normalized. And then I'm like, if it becomes more normalized, then doesn't it become less financially valuable? Because if everyone is going to be doing it and if it's more normalized, then the money will obviously lessen over time. You know, so I was like,
kind of understand that, because you're basically saying like, wouldn't it kind of make the market more competitive? But I think like the thing about sex work is like, originally it was like a survival job. It still is a survival job for so many people, and because of that, it's kind of transient. People kind of come and go from it as they please. You know, like people, there's people who do sex work full time, and there's also people who like come in, make a bit of, you know, quick cash if they need to pay bills or if they have like emergency, you know, fees for something, that kind of thing. And then they might leave and then they might come back again. So I think it's always like a kind of revolving door of like, you know, content creators or cam girls or escorts or whatever. So I don't know. I personally don't think it would like reduce the value of it. I think the more normalized it becomes, like it would actually allow people to kind of like hone in their craft if they want to and be able to charge what they want without people kind of questioning it, you know, because they'll see like, oh, well, this is a service that's being offered rather than this like dirty thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. And I guess it's like with sex work, and it's the same with a lot of like entertainment industry, there is kind of like an unquenchable thirst for it. Like, because it's so,
yeah, absolutely.
Especially for like something that as direct. Sells. Yeah, totally. And something as direct as OnlyFans, because it's usually marketed directly to someone's Instagram followers, or maybe it's an escort who now during COVID has gone to doing that. So it's people who can't see her. So, you know, I think it's so direct that there is kind of a, like, you know, if you look at like, say the likes of like YouPorn and all these companies that are owned by like one big umbrella company, like RedTube, YouPorn, they're all owned by the same company, but they all get millions and millions of hits. So, you know, one doesn't always take away from another. But I do know what you mean in a sense that you're like, would it, you know, if you were like an OnlyFans girl for like a year and you've built up this thing, if you saw like every single person on your street kind of jump on board, would you be kind of like, oh, for fuck's sake?
I guess I just mean normalizing, but I guess that happens with every platform, like YouTube, you know, and there's obviously going to be people who are better at it.
Yeah.
You know, like I can see some pictures coming up in my feed and I'm like, what? I don't want to see what's going on behind that emoji, because like you're in your mom's box room. It's not like my aesthetic personally, but then there's some deadly ones and I'm like, oh, I so want to swipe up. But so I guess that's just like, you know, you'll probably be, if you're good at it, you'll get more money, I guess.
Yeah.
I find it odd.
And there's different strokes. Sorry, there's different strokes for different folks. Like some guys, you know, don't want to pay $20 for some like aesthetic OnlyFans. Like they just kind of want to get their rocks off as well.
There's
a market for everyone, really, you know?
Yeah, totally. Some lads love that kind of stuff. Lads are creeps.
Or like they could also like the smaller creator vibe, I guess, of like, you know, someone who can actually like talk back and forth. Like some of those girls with like hundreds of thousands of people, like they're not exactly going to be sitting there sexting, and if they are, they're charging you for it.
Because some of them, I think, felt like, you can see from like the messages that they get, you know, when people put up that, you're like, oh, they're kind of having like mini little relationships, or at least the guys are thinking this and kind of enjoying it. And especially during lockdown, I'd say that was really nice to be able to like chat to someone one on one. I can't believe that Bella tried to like hide her greed by pretending to be this like, you know, fighter against, it's like, I don't know much about Bella Thorne other than she fucked Scott Disick and is on drugs.
She got with Scott Disick, did she?
Yeah.
Is she on drugs or does she LARP as being on drugs?
There's no way that bitch is not on drugs. It's the only thing she's famous for, in my opinion.
Really?
Like she's never come out and said it, but like you just have to look at her like she's,
I only know her because she like dated Tana Mojo. That's the only way that I ever heard of her.
I know her from that, and I know she put up, there was like a Harper's Bazaar like skincare video, and her skincare routine was just awful. It was, I think I watched that. Like it was like all like natural skincare, and she was like mixing like honey and sugar and oats and like slapping everything on her face, and it was just a hot mess.
I remember
but I
that.
Think she was a, I think she was a Disney actor.
She was,
I think she was a big Disney actor,
I think she's like that typical, like I was Disney and now I'm gone bad. Like that kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
And she was going out with some guy called Moon Sun or something, and he literally looked like walking, talking drugs.
They were engaged,
I think. They were engaged. And then when he split, he like got sober. So I think that was kind of a like, fuck you, Bella. I'm kind of outing you as someone who isn't sober. Because she's never like, I don't think, publicly came out and said that like, I'm on crystal meth, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's like a real stoner. And she, because she hangs out with like that Tana Mojo thing, I'm like, I'm sure she's like, you know, a cokehead.
Snorted a joint or
something. I'm sure she's double dropped a joint in her time. Got so stoned off her tits. But yeah, like I mean, she's just kind of known as this like grimy, like she definitely has an opinion of herself to be this like grimy kind of a rock star. So it's not,
I'd say she'd call herself a creative.
Yeah, probably.
Because she like, you know, dyes her hair and stuff.
Yeah. So she, but yeah. So this whole movie thing, that was a lie. Cause I saw this from a girl I follow, an American girl who's an OnlyFans person. She's been popping the fuck off on Instagram about Bella Thorne. And she was like, she mentioned this movie and she was kind of like, what the fuck? So it was like research, but yet you were like, I mean, she never even came out and was like, guys, don't worry. The $1 million was being, you know, donated or, you know, used to produce the movie. It was just like, no. I'll keep it.
My money, thank you.
Yeah, I think like that's the thing. It's like it would have been absolutely fine if she had done the OnlyFans and not tried to spin it as this like, I'm trying to help you guys, because like you've never shown up in the sex work community before and this is kind of just out of the blue. So she tried to say like, oh, it's research for a movie that I'm making about sex workers. So like I want to experience the platform for myself. But if that was the case, then why didn't you A, consult sex workers before doing it, and B, why did you have to charge for that? Like, why couldn't you have made like, because you can make a free OnlyFans and you don't need to charge people like $200 for a nude and then scam them and make us look like scammers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that was a point that I saw which was really interesting, yeah, that I never thought of. She's like perpetuating that whole idea of like sex workers being like, and especially cam girls as well, being like sneaky, yeah, scammers.
Yeah, well, sex workers in general. I mean, like, still Cardi B will be dragged for whatever she came out saying that she did when she was working as a stripper and stuff. You know, they're like, oh, she was a stripper, but they'll be focusing on like the two things that she said about like whatever she did to guys. But yeah, that is outrageous that she pretended to sell a nude and then it looked like that Jeffree Star video or that photo that you put up. It was hilarious.
That meme. Because people always say they look alike, and when you see it, it's really hard to unsee it.
Jeffree Star's arse just cracks me up.
It cracks me up.
His tiny little frame and the fake butt.
Is that an implant or is that a BBL?
I think it's implants because there's no fat on him.
It's like a triangle.
Because like you can only with BBL get like fat, obviously, from your own body, injected into your own body. You can't get like someone else's fat, which would be so disgusting to think of. I know, Mingan. But
someone else's fat.
He does not have a BBL because like that man has literally the lowest body.
He's a baddie.
He's a baddie. Body fat percentage I've ever seen. But yeah, it's like implants. And that fucking, it's like, what did it say again? It's like, you tell me Bella Thorne scammed you for this? And it's Jeffree Star.
And his little dog in the back and all.
The Pomeranian in the background jiggling his arse.
Now that is probably, I think from my little opinion, is that that's probably the worst thing that she did.
Yeah.
The scamming is like
the pay-per-view and also like charging like a chunk of change.
$200.
Like, if you're rich, as you said, you could do like a free OnlyFans or a dollar. And you know,
she still would have got fucking loads of money as well.
She would have, yeah. And she would, and like if you wanted to do a pay-per-view, do it for like a fiver or something. Like this whole $200 thing, it's like, and then so this is her quote that I found it on Twitter there. So she said, "I wanted to bring attention to the site. The more people on the site, the more likely of a chance to normalize the stigmas. And in trying to do this, I hurt you. I have risked my career a few times to remove the stigma behind sex work, porn, and the natural hatred people spew." Oh, I hate that whole martyr complex of like.
Yeah. I hate bitches who pat themselves on the back. It's like, just take ownership over, you know, what you did. Stop trying to paint it as something else. What do you think?
It's just another case of people who aren't sex workers trying to like speak for us instead of like consulting us and letting us speak. Like, it's just frustrating because like she tried to say like, oh, I risked my career to speak for you guys. And it's like, yeah, we do that too. So like, why don't you just hand the mic to us? Let us speak, tell you what we need, tell you what we want as workers. And she has to go and play this whole thing. And I also have to laugh as well that she came out with that apology. Meanwhile, her sister, Callie is her sister's name. On her Instagram, she was like trying to defend Bella and like what Bella was doing and her own actions because she made an OnlyFans as well. But she was also like, bashing sex workers who were like asking her questions in the comments, which is some like really like whorephobic shit. Like she was saying like, oh, you all call yourself slut, so I'm gonna call you a slut. And it's like, that's our marketing, idiot.
I know, I saw that she like, replied to someone being like, not my fault you have to do this for a living or something. Really? Like that. Yeah. It was like she was like, yeah. And like, which is just like, guys, you're all like, if you're like related to a celebrity, like please just get off your phone. Stop it. Like, we've seen this happen time and time again. Just shut your damn mouth. Like, seriously. You're like, oh, it was just really embarrassing. But yeah, she was like, it's not my fault that you, someone was like, this is like some people's livelihood. And she was like, well, maybe they should think twice about needing their money every week. It's like,
yeah,
honey,
yeah.
They got bills to pay.
It was just really classist. It was like, someone had said, oh, can you please just like leave us alone and let us survive? And she was like, she quoted the "let us survive" and she was like, ha 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 ha. And it was like, why are you laughing at the fact that people literally like have bills to pay and have mouths to feed and they like live bill to bill, like paycheck to paycheck? Like it's just so unfair and so out of touch with reality because they obviously have money. They didn't need to do this. Mm-hmm. And now people are giving them obviously valid criticism and they're just laughing in the face of every sex worker who does OnlyFans, you know?
And the annoying thing is like, Bella Thorne didn't have much of a career. Clearly, like this is probably why she was maybe trying to get some press and attention and stuff because she like hasn't been in since Disney and stuff. Like I haven't seen her in any like worthwhile films. I think she does some shitty horror things and like whatever. But she's kind of known as being a bit of a mess in Hollywood. And So I think it's like, stop trying to say that you had this amazing career and you fucked it up for you guys. It's like, no, you fucked up your own career by being a goddamn mess in general. And now you're just, it's so far removed. You're trying to like connect to people, but like you're in a totally different lifestyle. That's the worst thing about celebrities, when they get to a point of being so far removed from reality, but still thinking that they can like open their mouth and speak about like people's, other people's reality.
It's like that fucking Imagine video. Remember that came out over COVID? Or the one, what was the one like, I take responsibility for my racism. I loved that skit that Casey Frey did about that. Did you see that? Yeah, that and he's like, okay, I'm really sitting into empathy. And he's like, I love this character. I love it. Love just taking ownership. But it's the same thing. It's like this, and or like people, the celebrities being like, just stay in your house, like stay inside during COVID. It's like, oh yeah, in your fucking mansion. I'm sure that's easy to say. They're like, it's so fun.
Yeah, totally. With a chef and a cleaner.
Yeah, and a cinema.
Yeah, celebrities just need to seriously stop talking on like real people's problems. Keep on talking about Jennifer Lawrence, how you didn't get paid enough for whatever the fuck movie you were in. And boo-hoo.
I only got $5 million.
Yeah, like do that, you know. There was a Netflix thing that came out the other day which was saying like men have earned so much more money. Like talk about that. Chit chat amongst yourselves about that. But like leave the real shit to like people who are actually living it.
Yeah. So what do you think... What's the kind of general consensus? I mean, like, I'm sure we know on Twitter with like sex workers, are you seeing like anyone, are people talking about migrating to a different platform, or is it kind of like, I'm interested, is it going to like poke a hole in the whole OnlyFans thing of like, you know, being reliant, it is one of the problems of being reliant on like a tech giant who doesn't really care about your well-being. You know, their OnlyFans wasn't set up to be a sex work platform. It's just been kind of capitalized by sex workers in a really great way. Like obviously they're making, it's girls on there making, and guys make on there making a shitload of money. But I wonder, will it like show a problem with like, because they're determining basically now that, I mean, that you
they
can,
make they have the cards are always in their hands. And I remember you saying that, I think we spoke about OnlyFans before, and you said that it's basically just an online pimp because they have the control. Maybe not those exact words.
it's controversial, definitely. Like, if you were to actually like look at these like tech giants who serve like, you know, work as platforms for sex workers, technically that is pimping because they're taking a cut of your money, right? And OnlyFans takes like 20%, which is a lot. But the thing about OnlyFans is, like Jenny said, like it wasn't built to be like a platform for sex work. They kind of just built it. Like sex workers built it to be this platform for themselves. And now that you've got like celebrities like Bella Thorne and Cardi B, and you've got actors and actresses and models all coming onto it, OnlyFans are slowly kicking sex workers off. So like they determined the platform and the rules. But now with the Bella Thorne thing, what people got annoyed about was when they decided to change like the tip levels and the payouts. It's like, yeah, you can control the platform, but why are you controlling the market and how much people can charge? Which is what a pimp would do as well, right? Yeah. They'd tell you like how much you can charge for your services. But I think this has been like a long time coming, to be honest, because OnlyFans really don't care that much about sex workers. Like they're happy to take our money, but whenever they have issues on the platform with like customers or payouts, they like never reply, and they're just really kind of dismissive. And they don't want to really improve the platform for sex workers, I don't think. So I think people are starting to look for like alternative platforms, and there are other ones out there. Like there's one called like AVN Stars. There's another one that's actually built by a sex worker and her business partner, I think it's called Pocket Stars. And then there's also like Admire Me. There's there's one more. I think it's, actually can't remember the name, but those are a couple. But I think the thing about OnlyFans is it obviously is such a big brand name. Like you say OnlyFans and everyone knows what it is. So obviously you can kind of flush more customers into that platform. And some guys most likely already have a profile made up where they already follow a couple of girls. Whereas like, oh, if you go say to someone like, oh, sign up for my AVN, he'll be like, oh, I have to make a new profile. I'm not that bothered, that kind of thing, you know.
People are notoriously... they hate moving from one place to another on the internet.
It's migrating like, people from platform to platform is just like...
It's a lot more difficult than you'd think, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, like if you build up a client base on one platform, why would you all of a sudden jump ship to another? It's just like another ordeal, you know? And like, yeah, you can do it and you can have the two running at the same time and hopefully people will eventually kind of migrate over. But that's just so much work,
yeah,
unnecessary work, you know? And I mean, there are obviously sex workers who will do it. Like, girls on OnlyFans are probably, there's probably some who are like, oh, whatever, I'll just roll with the punches. And then there's others who are like, no, I absolutely won't stand for this. Mm-hmm. And that's the last straw for me, you know? And then they'll move over to something else. But yeah, I know. It's
frustrating.
Just, I don't know. I think time will tell with OnlyFans if it's actually going to last the way it is. Like, because even another thing about the Bella Thorne thing was that, like, sex workers on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, like, they're constantly getting banned, yeah, and deleted and everything else and policed by these platforms. But yet, if a celebrity was to make an OnlyFans and post it in their Instagram, they could promote it to beat the ban. Whereas, like, sex workers can't, and we're always having our posts deleted and pages deleted. And it's like, why is it one rule for them and one rule for us? So I think that's what pissed people off as well, you know? You can't even put your OnlyFans link in your Instagram bio, like, and that's people's mode of promotion and mode of advertising. So how are you supposed to build up your business if you're constantly being told, oh, you can't post this, you can't post your nudes, you can't post your links, all this kind of thing?
So you can only do like a swipe up thing on stories. You can't have it like live forever on your bio.
Which is so frustrating, because like... Like, what's the difference between us having our Patreon in our bio and someone else having an OnlyFans link in their bio? It's the same thing. It's selling content. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you can have a Patreon page and you can pay, like, Patreon are quite like conservative with it. You can have like, you're just not allowed to show any, like, I think it's like penetration or something like that. Like, you can sell nudes on Patreon, basically. But you know, there's no difference there. And it's just really frustrating that like OnlyFans, as a platform, I think it was first built for like personal trainers or something like that. It was something to do with the gym.
I think it was like a fitness thing. Yeah.
And then like, I think like actors and stuff, like everyone got onto it basically the way Patreon did. But then OnlyFans are what has made, or sorry, sex workers are what made OnlyFans like such a huge business and so well known. And then it's so frustrating that like the minute something goes wrong, they're the people that have to pay for it, because they're the people using the tips the most, they're the people using the pay-per-view the most. Like OnlyFans, I don't know the breakdown of it now, but I'm gonna guess there's not a lot of personal trainers on there anymore, and if it is, it's like sexy
a personal trainer nakedly training. But it's also so frustrating that, I mean, a non-sex worker fucked it up for other sex workers.
And they pay the price.
And like OnlyFans didn't appreciate, you know, the kind of promotion that, first of all the sex workers who use their platform is doing for them. Because like, you know, we push Patreon, it's a give and take. Like you're both doing good there for the company or whatever. So then that Bella Thorne gets, like, that they didn't kind of value all of their sex workers who they have on the platform and instead just didn't want that to happen anymore. And like, she should have just been blocked from OnlyFans for scamming people.
Yeah.
That's what I think as well. And like, there's a lot of talk about like how she can kind of rectify the situation, but that's what they should have done. They should have just suspended her account, because she ended up getting like, I think it was nearly $600,000 worth of chargeback. And then obviously OnlyFans have to pay like a processing fee for the refunds to a bank. So they've obviously lost money on that. But they should have just like at least given her like a suspension or like taken away her pay-per-view option or something like that, you know. But instead they just made this like blanket rule that like you could only get like $50 or $100 tips, where it used to be like $200. And they tried to spin it as like, and with the when they did 5 day pay or a week payout, they jumped it to a month payout, and they tried to spin it as like, oh, we're preventing credit card fraud. And it's like, yeah, but like, has that ever happened really before? Like, it's only really an issue now. Like, you can clearly see the timeline of when Bella Thorne made her OnlyFans to when they changed the rules, and they're definitely linked. And as well as that, people took issue with, I think it was, OnlyFans promoted Bella Thorne's sister's OnlyFans on their Twitter.
What?
Being like, yeah, being like, oh, go follow like Callie Thorne or whatever. Whereas they've never, ever promoted like a sex worker on their page. It's always been like super, super vanilla. So I think a lot of people were like, what the hell? These two girls like came in, made you guys like, you know, get chargebacks and change the rules and everything like that, but you're still promoting them. What the hell?
I didn't know she had one as well, the sister. That's insane.
Yeah. Like the sister who was there, like bashing all the sex workers, she has an OnlyFans as well. And she actually quoted on Instagram. She was like, oh, all the sluts are mad that I'm stealing their content because I'm more creative than them. And it's like, you literally just contradicted yourself. That makes no sense.
Oh my God.
She was like, you're so mad I'm stealing your work. Ha ha ha.
They seem two toxic sisters. OnlyFans. Whoa.
I know.
The actual OnlyFans Twitter page promoted her sister.
And this is after the whole Bella Thorne showdown or before?
Yeah, this is after the whole showdown. This is after they came out and said, we're changing the pay-per-view rules.
Literally like they're taunting people.
The payout rules.
I mean, surely it would have made more sense for them to like bring in, like, as you said, like a limit on her pay-per-view, or like that it could be case by case basis. Like if someone is causing the platform to have to do 600,000 in chargebacks, then okay, you're limited that you're only allowed to charge 50 quid now, instead of every single person. I'm sure there are so many girls on there who sold great pay-per-view content, never had chargebacks because they weren't scamming people. Like I saw a screen grab on Instagram and it was like that showed the picture of what Bella Thorne was, and it was basically like her like turned with her back to a mirror, and like it was a selfie kind of taken over her shoulder, and there was like a bit of side boob, and she was wearing like not even a thong, like full on like a bikini bottoms.
Yeah.
And before she obviously put out this, so I'm not too sure, but from what I've kind of read, the way you put it out is like it messages all your followers being like, oh, there's a pay-per-view thing that if you want to buy, this is how much it is. So someone had written back being like, is this nude? And she was like, yes, full nude. And then the picture was that. Like she was also like knowingly going in being like, yeah, it's full nude. It's a full nude picture. So it's not like she like got her wires crossed or like thought that you couldn't show pussy. You know,
that's
she
rule
knew.
Number one of like pay-per-view stuff. I remember that. I think some guy had asked for a foot pic and I was like, oh my, I've been out at that weekend. My foot were like ravaged by some fucking pair of heels. So I was like, oh, I'll just go find one online. This is when I was young. So, and he was so mad, and he like whole loads of other people to block me and be like, you don't understand, like they get so mad at that shit.
Well yeah,
because they're like, I'm literally paying you for a damn picture of your feet, just give me a picture of your feet.
If I wanted a picture of a foot, I'd Google foot online.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So it's like that is like rule number one. So then I was like, okay, I'm not good at this.
It's the intimacy, it's the give and take, you know, that way. So
well, like it's a service, they're totally paying for a photograph of your feet.
Yeah.
Like if they're paying for a nude, they're expecting a full nude. Like it's not this,
especially
like,
when you verify that it is full nude too. You know that way, so like that. I think that's like that was just a real kick in the teeth for me. That I was like, "Oh, bitch, you've got not a leg to stand on with this." That you were outright scamming people.
And I mean, OnlyFans are obviously going to be out of money.
She proper baited people.
Yeah, 100%.
Like OnlyFans are going to be out of money if they're not letting. Like, would they get a cut of tips, or is that?
I think so.
I think it's 20% of. Everything. I'm not sure. I think I actually don't know if you get to keep the tips or not. But I presume, like I've seen people's like statement breakdown, and how it looks to me is that you have like your net earnings, and then I think they take a 20% cut off the total. So yeah. I think it does include the tips.
I'd say it would, and because I think that's what that girl was saying in that Twitter thread. She was like, basically. So say you charge $50 for a pay-per-view, they take their 20% cut, and then you have to pay tax on that. So like at the end of it, it's like 25 euro, 30 euro, you know what I mean? It's like, and then also if you're Irish specifically, like if you're charging in dollars, when we know this from Patreon, it's really annoying. Like then you have to like take into account the whole like conversion back. So you're getting like fuck all for something that probably used to be really lucrative for
you. And it's ambiguous because like obviously the currency changes and stuff like that. Even if they'd given some kind of warning, like to just like, because, you know, jobs do that sometimes where like you used to get paid weekly and then they're going to change it to monthly. But like to do it like that.
If it was like a 6-month thing where they're like, look, in 6 months, it's only going to be able to be monthly.
Yeah, so you can kind of like gather your finances and figure it all out. But like, for to wait for a week, for a month, like that's just putting people in like dangerous situations, you know?
100%. And they know that, which is the most fucked up thing.
I find that they're almost trying to taunt the sex workers, which is just bizarre to me. But I feel like putting up like a picture of the girl, of the sister on their Twitter and stuff, it's bizarre.
It is a kick in the teeth, I think. It's a kick in the teeth because sex workers, like as a community, like including like, you know, cam girls and the OnlyFans girls, and then obviously the escorts who moved over to OnlyFans during the pandemic, they've all been so vocal to OnlyFans about what they want and what they want to see from the platform. And they've been ignored all the time. And then, you know, someone who is an outsider in the community just like waltzes in and kind of fucks it up for everyone. And it's over. It was overnight as well. Like you said, like it wasn't like they phased it. It wasn't like they phased it in that, excuse me, that it was going to be like, okay, in like, you know, 3 to 6 months time, we're only going to do monthly payouts. This was like overnight, and people all of a sudden, and especially like this was like last week, so it's like coming up to the end of the month, people have rent to pay, you know. It's like you can't do that to people. Like there are genuinely people, like not everyone is making, you know, obviously like $1 million in a day. There's some people who are literally on OnlyFans and scraping by to get people to pay $5 to $10 a month for their OnlyFans. You know, some people don't have the reach on social media that these celebrities and these kind of big name like porn stars or whatever have. And that's mostly, that's partly because, well, like we can't promote ourselves on social media because we're constantly being policed and told that we're inappropriate and told that like no one wants us on their platform. You know, that's what these companies essentially say to sex workers when they do things like that. It's like, we don't want you here. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not welcome, but these celebrities are, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll probably leave it there, girl. Thank you so much for coming on and schooling our asses. Thank as always. No problem.
Yeah, you're a wealth of knowledge.
A wealth of knowledge, girl. But thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, honey. So, very interesting.
Very interesting.
I mean, fuck you, Bella. Fuck you, Bella. And
it's just so enraging. And like, when you see these things unfold, you know, like, obviously we've said it before, we are like anti-cancel culture and everything like that. But like, as a voyeur, to view, like I do, sometimes I'm like, whoa, they really played it well, where like they made a mistake, as every human, like, you know, we all make mistakes.
100%.
But then they can like, you know, come out with a statement that is like authentic and, you know, they've clearly reflected and are apologizing. But Bella is still trying to pat herself on the back.
Yeah.
And that must just be really frustrating to watch, especially if it's hit you financially.
And I just think like for me as well, it's like her intent was so bad. You know, a lot of times like celebrities and people can have, you know, good intentions with bad execution, and that can get them cancelled. And like a lot of the times the good intentions are overseen. But in this sense, it was like she was like cosplaying as a sex worker to make some documentary about sex work, which never existed. But, you know, she was alleging that she was like involved, as far as I know, in like, you know, the production and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, why not just make a documentary? You know, for all this, I know like Rashida Jones got a lot of hate about one of her documentaries, but at least she talked to actual sex workers. You know, that way, instead of being like,
she came back and made
a better one, better one. And, you know, so that's someone who's actually listening to feedback and being like, oh, okay. But also having better intentions, you know, at least she's showing, yes, she only showed one side of, what was that? Was it called like,
Rashida Jones, actually.
Yeah, if you just Google
look up,
it.
I can't remember, but
Girl Next Door or something like that.
Hot Girl Wanted.
That's Hot what it is. Girl Wanted,
and
yes.
Then, so Rashida Jones, who is an actress, and she's Quincy Jones' daughter, right? Yeah. And she came out with Hot Girls Wanted, which was about like the kind of amateur porn industry and all these women that like were in America getting found by this guy on
Craigslist,
one of those.
Stuff.
And then like it was just showing how like they really only like, unless you kind of take off, which is rare in the porn industry, in this day and age, is that like, because there's so many girls who are getting into it, and that they can like only have like a 4 month long career in it.
And also I think she was showing, you know, in that amateur porn industry, like to even make like, you know, like say $250 a week, you'd have to do like insane amount of scenes, which is so intense on your body. And then it's not even, you know, you'll get paid, but it's not even guaranteed. I think then he can sell it off and he makes way more money. It's really fucked up. But she got a lot of hate off sex workers because they were like, you're kind of only showing like a really amateur and not like a bad end of
you're
sex
showing
work
as well. It was quite a depressing documentary. Like, it went back to one of the girls' homes and her mom was crying and she, you know, it was kind of saying that like, you can ruin your life in 4 months was kind of what I took from it. That's what she seemed to be trying to say through the documentary. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of sex workers who were really angry about how she had kind of documented that side and like, you know, just because it's a constant thing that they get, like constant negativity over their choice of work. And then she came back out and she did like sub documentaries with like a lot of different, like each documentary, they're all on Netflix as far as I know they were.
Anyway. They were, yeah. It's all about porn more so.
Yeah, so and she did a female-led one, racism in porn and like just lots of different
cam girls.
It was really interesting.
And she showed like, she showed a way bigger spectrum of like,
and a less judgmental one.
Exactly. And like, you know, that's a great example of someone with like good intentions, maybe, you know, slightly tone deaf execution the first time around, but listening to the people that are giving her the criticism, like listening to the community of sex workers and then making another one, you know, with, you know, as a celebrity, she has the means to do so. Same as Bella Thorne. Like, she does not need that $1 million. And it's not, you know,
and she could do something with it. Like Rashida Jones, you know, she listened, she reevaluated, she learned herself and she used her creativity. So if Bella Thorne and her dumb ass sister is going to be saying that they're creative, then why are you faking selling a nude online? That's not creative. That's a scam.
Yeah.
Really? I can't believe she scammed her ass. Get your arse out.
Her literal ass.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, she probably.
That bum was intended.
Like, I mean, she probably shows more on Instagram. Like, literally, I've seen way more of people's, like, close to their bum hole on Instagram than I have in that picture from Bella Thorne.
I know.
Like, side boob. Wow, honey.
It's just like.
Like, what's your...
If you don't want to sell a nude, why the fuck are you pretending to sell a nude?
Don't go near it, you know?
Like...
So that's all we have for this week's Girlies. Let us know what you think about the OnlyFans scandal and all about the stuff that we talked about at the start of the episode. Once again, a reminder, start of the month, sign up to Patreon. You don't need us to tell you again, but X-Gals is where it's at. And in case you missed it in the intro, we have now got a Discord for Patreon, which is so cool. It's like a chat room. It's so 90s. You can get it on your phone too. It's so fun.
It's so early 2000s. I'm obsessed. And also, who we had on speaking about the whole Bella Thorne thing. We did a whole episode with her about her kind of sex work. And it was really interesting. One of our favorite that we've recorded. So that lives only on X-Gals. So if you liked what you heard, go and sign up and you can get that full episode and our catalog of episodes. What, 100?
Easily 100 episodes now. So girlies, we will talk to you next week.
Bye, gals.
Bye.